Some of those, it's like, let's see, what are we supposed to get out of this? But that's pretty straightforward. I will, in case we didn't connect the dots, I'll say a couple things. I appreciate Moses' attitude. This guy was humble, wasn't he? He wasn't, you know, he's asking Joshua, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets. You know, sometimes I think preachers or leadership, they're afraid of having other people do that because they might be better than them. You know what God wants? God wants us all to be involved, doesn't He? He wants us working as a team. It's not about competition among ourselves. It's about competition against our enemy, the world, right? So we got a job to do, and we can do it together. One other thing I will say, you know, there's certain things we have a tendency as humans to list the big bad sins, right? We got murder up there. We got adultery up there. We got drug usage up there. Alcohol is. But one that doesn't make the list a lot of times is grumbling. Bad attitude lots of times doesn't make our list of bad sins. But you read the Old Testament, that makes the list. God doesn't like bad attitudes. And when these guys grumbled, I said, okay, you want that? I'll give you what you want. I'm going to give it till it's coming out of your nostrils, and you're going to be sick of it, and you're going to die from it. So be careful, guys, what you want from God. And not get greedy. Let's not get a bad attitude. Let's keep our attitude right. This morning, we got a special treat. I got a few things to say. We got Brother Benoit Thomas coming all the way from Kerala, India, for us. We got to hear him for Sunday school class this morning. It was really great. I told him he did his presentation on some of his work he's been doing, and now he's going to preach to us. I'll tell you, I appreciate this guy. You were born in India, weren't you, Benoit? But how old did you go back to the States? 5 years old, he came to the States. And Benoit lived in New York City and actually had a really successful catering company going there. And here's a guy, he became a Christian, got a picture of the new creation, the mission that God's given to us, and this guy left his successful business in New York City and went back to his homeland to take the gospel to him. Now guys, I know a lot of people trying to get out of places like India to come to a place like New York City where they can be successful. Here's a guy that's successful here. He gets a picture of what life is really all about, and he's willing to take that, lay it aside, and go back. I appreciate that. Brother Benoit Thomas, come on up here and preach it to us, brother.
Good morning. I'm really excited to be here. It's been about 2 years since the last time I saw all of you guys. So it's really a privilege to be here with all of you. And we're not used to all this technology back in India. But it's great. I get to hear you guys in India because of this. I have a quiz here for you guys. I want to see who's been listening. Some of you young guys. How many people live in India? If you raise your hand, I can... Oh, no, not Savannah. Savannah's out of... She's been at our teen camp in Lancaster. She's been following us around. How many people live in India? 1.2 billion. He's got the right answer. Okay, I'm not going to throw it. I'm going to hit somebody in the head. So this brother gets a... Can you pass it down there for that brother? All right. In what state do we live in India? What state do we live in? Who can tell me? Micah. Kerala. Very good. Okay, here. Here, pass it to... Can you catch that? All right, Anastasia. Good job. Okay. And what's the language spoken in Kerala? What's the language? Who can tell me? Raise your hand. No. There's some... Who's over here? Come on, anybody. One of you young guys. Yes. No, not... Malayalam. Very good, brother. Very good. All right. All right. Good job. Okay, we'll stop there. Let me get... Because of our time this morning, let me get a little comfortable, take out of this Indian garb. Okay, now let's go to the scriptures. Please turn with me to the book of Revelation. Isn't it wonderful to be in Christ? It is super. I'm just so excited. I'm so glad the Lord brought me out of the darkness of this world and into His glorious light. And being able, God's Word is filled with so much wisdom. You know, you don't have to be the same old man. You can be a new man, new creation, to have God's Spirit indwell in us. It is wonderful. And through the Word of God, I'm able to be a husband. The husband that God really meant us to be. To have, you know, to be a great father. And I'm grateful to the Lord for the four beautiful children that the Lord has blessed me with. What's the best time of the day? Bible time. Yes, that's right. Bible. It's not prime time. It's Bible time. That's the main thing in our household. I can win all of Asia for Christ, but if I lose my children, am I a winner? No. You got it. My brethren, I want to encourage you. Make time for your families. Spend time with your kids. Family devotions. Memory work night. Prayer time. These are essential, essential, essential to for the glory of Christ. And for keep your family together. That's so essential. We're grateful. We have family nights, even though we're very, very busy doing our Christian. You know, I'm the teaching the school. I'm the preacher. I do counseling sessions. We have lots of stuff going on. The forward momentum. The guy who pushes things, with lots of families there in India. But we have, you know, Friday night comes along, family night, family time. You know, we watch a nice godly, you know, try to find a good movie to watch and spend time wrestling with the kids and spending time with them, because they're going to be awesome workers for the kingdom. Anastasia, she's going to be a woman for Asia, you know, and Isaiah is going to be a great man, and Elijah and Hadassah. Those are my arrows to be sent out into different parts of the world. That's why God gave them to me. So, please make time for your families. Spend time. They are your first disciples. Husbands, those of you who are in Christ, and lead your family, you know, and bring glory to God. Let's turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 11. You know, our email address is Overcomers in India. That's who we are. And there's a reason why. There's a lot of challenges, as you've seen this morning. I've talked about some of the Hindu religion, and there's over 850 million people who follow the Hindu religion. 120 million Muslims. You know, so lots of idolatry, lots of pagan religions out there. Buddhism and Hinduism and Confucianism. All these isms are out there in India, and we're in the mix of that, and it's great. We need to be there. That's the right place. And we need to continue to sow those seeds and continue to make those disciples and change those lives, bringing them out of that darkness, out of that despair, out of that hopelessness. Some of you saw the video up there on the wall that some guy said that his grandfather was a rat and he can't wait to be a rat himself one day, you know, after he dies. Pretty sad, right? But we have a great message for the world that we can overcome with God's Spirit in us. Revelation chapter 2, verse 11 says, we can read from 10, second part of 10, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." That's what God wants to give us, the crown of life. You know, I got a beautiful crown here. It can't compare to what we're going to get in heaven. You guys want a crown? A beautiful, glorious crown? That's for if you remain faithful. Remain faithful. Don't give up. Don't stop coming to the assembly because you got a headache or you got a backache or you got a toothache or whatever it is. You know, come on, get excited about the Lord's assembly and partake in the Lord's Supper. Fathers and mothers, I want to encourage you. If you're enthusiastic, guess what? Your kids are going to be enthusiastic. Right, Luke? Yeah, they're going to be motivated. What does daddy and mommy love? The new, you know, the latest news? You know, what do you all read early in the morning when you get up? Do you run to the newspaper or do you pick up your Bible? That's what your kids are watching you. You know, do you love to, you know, what do you love to do with your time? How does daddy and mommy spend their time and energy? See, we're going to create awesome warriors for the Lord by our own enthusiastic and our enthusiasm and our own personal example. So, my goal and my hope is for my children to be in heaven with me. Everything else in this life does not matter. You know, it's to help motivate and guide them and direct them while I have the chance and the opportunity. So I want to see my kids and those with us in India with us in heaven to the glory of God. So be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life, a beautiful crown. It's going to be all worth it. See, don't give up. Don't get discouraged when life throws you, you know, various challenges. He who has a ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. Right? Over and over in chapter 2, verse 17, it says, he who has a ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it. What an awesome blessing to be in Christ. We need to persevere, brother. Persevere. Never look back. Keep on going forward. You know, in Christ, your past is erased. Every day is a new beginning. A new beginning. Don't forget about what your parents did or your grandparents and the things that you went through. Let it go. You know, in Christ, you are holy. You are beloved. You are a son or a daughter of God. Chapter 2, verse 26 says there, he who overcomes, he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. Chapter 3, verse 5 says, he who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angel. Don't you want your name to be written in the book on the day of judgment? You know? So what's your name? What's your name, brother?
Stan.
Stan.
Stan
Lass?
Yes.
Okay. You want to, on the day you're standing before the great throne, don't you want your name written in that book? Yes. So you got whatever you have to go through to remain faithful. Remain faithful, brethren. It's all worth all the things of this world, all the toys. It does not matter. The land, the houses, the cars, the bank accounts, does not matter. Remain faithful. Whatever happens in this world, you remain faithful to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Whatever persecution you endure, remain faithful. You want your name written in the book of life. That's what all matters. And you can overcome everything that comes your way. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. It says there, I am coming quickly. Is he coming slowly? No, he's coming quickly. Hold fast. Hold fast to the word of God. Hold fast. I mean, hold it. The world wants to snatch it from you. Wants to, you know, don't look in the book. Wants you to hold it fast. Hold on to it. Hold on to the standards of the Scripture. See? That's so important because the culture is saying that homosexuality, you know, you can, you know, men and women, they can get married, men and men, they can get married, and women, hey, it's no problem. You don't have to discipline your kids. Don't discipline, you know, the world is getting, it's a big mess. But you got to hold to the standards of God's word. Let the world do whatever it needs to, but you hold on to the Scriptures and its promises. It says, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have so that no one will take your crown. So that no one will take your crown away from you. Each one of you must fight to hold on to the blessings that God has given to you. That's what we have, a family of believers. To encourage each other, to help each other. Spend time with one another. Encourage one another daily. Revelation 3. Verse 21, he who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. These are great. These are great and wonderful promises. And it is only to those who what?
Overcome.
Oh, those who overcome. That's right, brother. Only to those who overcome individually. There's no, you can't, nobody else can do it for you. Your husband can't do it for you, wives. You know, you're, husbands, your wives can't do it for you. You know, your sons and daughters, they have to, each individually must overcome in this life. You, as parents, as Christian parents, you need to prepare your children to overcome the daily trials that are coming ahead of them in their lives, each and every day. So prepare them for war. It's not a playground out there. It's a battleground. It's a battleground, and let's prepare. Let's armor up, man up, or woman up, whatever you need to do to get, you know, game faces on, to get the job done for the King. And let's go all go home. Great and wonderful promises. And this is exciting. See, when you realize that it's only the overcomers, these should, you know, it should make you ask, you know, how can I be an overcomer? How can I do this? You know, the scriptures say, Webster's Dictionary calls an overcomer a conqueror, a winner, a champion, and that's who we are. We're champions. We're winners. We can overcome anything. Any depression. We don't need drugs for all those things. Get into the Word. Get into the Scripture. Well, prayer. How much prayer? Get into prayer. Pray together as a congregation. America and the world is, you know, doctors tell you, you need this drug, and you need that, and you need this and that. No, you need the Scriptures. Get into the Word of God. It's a cure-all to everything in this world. You know? So, it has everything for life and godliness. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, brethren. 1 Corinthians 9. I might flip it. Hold on a second. 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives a prize? Run! Run! In such a way that you may win! You know, the Greek word there is agon, which means, where we get the word? Agony! Agony! Cross that finish line, brethren. Cross that finish line of life. Don't look back. Don't give up. Hold on to your faith. Don't let anyone snatch it from you. Race. Run in such a way so you may receive the prize. The glorious prize that our King has given to us. Right? You can't look back. It's a glorious race. It says there, run in such a way that you may win. Run in such a way that you may win. That's what it's all about. Some of you young guys, 17, 16, 14, the decisions you make today will determine where you will spend eternity. Stop playing around, fooling around, hurting yourself. Make godly decisions. Hold to the standards of the Scripture. Be modest. Be pure. And God will bless you with the best. He will bless you with the best husband. He will bless you with the best wife. He will bless you with, in your life, with wonderful children. The things you do today will determine where you will spend eternity. See, I plead with you. I plead with you. Make decisions according to the standards of God's Word. And God will bless your future. Don't look to the world for its standard. Don't follow its standards. You stand fast. Be firm. Be steadfast. Be immovable. Be immovable. You know, like an African rhino. See an African rhino? You think you can move that African rhino? Turn, shift it? No, it's good. It's locked on. You know, if it's coming for you, it's coming for you. You know, lock yourself in the Scripture. See, run in such a way. It's not a 100-meter dash. You know, it's a marathon. It's a marathon. It's an obstacle course, you know, a marathon with obstacle course. You got things you got to jump over and there's things you got to overcome, but don't give up. Keep going. If you're struggling or you're feeling discouraged, ask your brother and pray for you. Get together. Spend time with each other. It's teamwork. We need teamwork here. You know, it's not just about Billings. It's not just about India. It's about the world, how we can work together as a team. Help each other, build each other up so we can get to heaven. It's not about Wasion or Lancaster or, you know, Bozeman or, you know, Kerala, South India or wherever, Africa. It's all of us working together so we can help each other. Satan wants to divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. Divide our relationships, husbands and wives, children and parents, congregation after congregation, you know. But let's get together. Let's pray for each other. Let's fast for each other. You know, we need each other, don't we?
Amen.
Yes. So, Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 28 to 33, I have overcome the world. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. And so you can do it too. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, Jesus said, you can do it. You can follow in my footsteps. Jesus came in an Adam suit, right? He parachuted down, like Steve Doty says. He parachuted down here and put on this Adam suit, zipped it up, and walked around. this Adam suit here in this world to show us. See, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you that you can do the same thing. With my Spirit in you, you can overcome all the problems of this world. My Word in your mind, and my Spirit in your heart, and my example, you can be victorious. You can be a conqueror. Whatever comes your way. See, it's not about forgiveness of sins, my brother. Jesus did not just come into this world just to forgive your sins. That's just the beginning. So that He can wash you. He can make you a clean vessel. Give you a clean conscience. Is that important? Is that important? A clean conscience? No more. Brother, no more. Whatever you've done, it's all gone. It's gone. It's erased. We have a clean conscience so that we can get the job done. So that He can come and dwell in us. He can dwell in us. God, the Creator of the universe, the One who made Betelgeuse, Canis Majoris, the One who made this glorious galaxy, the One who made the butterflies that you see, came out of the cocoon, you know, flies around, beautiful creations, chlorophyll, photosynthesis, the One who made the sun in the sky, the One who, by His Word, made all these things. He has come to dwell within you, to help you on this journey of life, so that you can overcome. See? Empowered. See, God has empowered us. We are super men and super women. You know, Captain America has nothing when it comes to us. Right? We are extraordinary individuals. We can, because of God's Spirit, I can take India for Christ. Take on that 1.2 billion people. It's God's Spirit. It's God's power. That's why I can share with you, my brothers and sisters, take Montana, take America for Jesus Christ. Be an example for others in your local communities, right here in Billings. You guys can do a great job because of His Word and His example. See, Philippians chapter 2 gives you that Jesus was just like us. You can read it because of time. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 and 8, He was just like us. You know, He took on the human nature. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, He was made like His brethren in all things. He was tired, He was hungry, He was thirsty. You know, He had tummy aches probably from bad, you know, Mediterranean food and whatever. You know, just like all of us, He went through the same thing. Hebrews 4, 15, write it down. And 1 Peter 2, 21, great scriptures, just great motivation to us. If you want to go to heaven, you got to overcome. There's no shortcuts. You got to get into the scriptures. You got to be memorized, renewing your mind daily. You got to turn off that cable vision. You know, turn it off. It's just garbage. You know, spend time. Go out there, meet people, be friendly, make disciples. See, turn off the newspaper. See, in India, to keep my mind focused on getting the job done, because every day I pick up the newspaper, I tell my wife, I got to read the newspaper. I got 30 seconds, that's all I get. You know, I got to read, okay, what's going on in the world? And the 30 seconds sometimes discourages me. 30 seconds of reading, whoa, man. It messes with your mind. I'm fighting every day for my mindset. My mindset, I need victory, I need to press forward. The world is going to hell, but I can't let Satan distract me. You got to fight for your mindset. What you put in is what you become. Right. You put in garbage every single day. You turn on that radio, on your listening to worldly music, you know, hip hop that's filled with all sort of slander and talking bad about women, and it's not helping you. Turn it off. Put good stuff, godly stuff into your hearts and minds, and be involved with people who love the Lord, are passionate about truth. What you put in is what you become. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. Let's go there quickly. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn away from the holy commandment handed unto them. What a terrible thought to bear throughout eternity. You know, you've come to all this truth, you've come to this understanding, but the world, entangled in the desires of the world, and returns back into the world, overcome by the desires of the world. Imagine if you were in jail, and you were sentenced for 10 years. You know, you'd be like, oh man, why did I do this? Why did I do this? Oh. Imagine if being in hell. Imagine being in hell. Can you get out of hell? There's no 10 years or 25 years. There's no 50 years. There's no 100 years. Eternity. Eternity is a long time. It's a long time of agony, pain and suffering. Pain and suffering. There, it's a long time. If you don't make it to heaven, you will be in hell regretting it. See, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10 talks about Demas. He loved the world. He was a disciple, but he loved the world. He went back into the world. But now he's in hell regretting it. He's, oh, why did I do this? Why did I do this? I lost the crown. I was overcome. I gave in to the temptations and trials. My brethren, we can overcome these things, but we need each other. Hold on to the Word. Hold on. Spend your time wisely. The time in your life. I have 70 years. You know, my time is taken. 36 now. I was telling Jared yesterday, I have 34 more years. Time is ticking. Tick, 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 tick. Lord wills, you know. That's what the Scripture says. So 70 or 80. That's it, what man has. But with that time, what are you going to use it for? Use it for the glory of God, helping other people come to Christ, helping training up your children so the next generation can be faithful to the Lord. See, use your time wisely as you live on this earth. See, as we go through this life, the Scriptures are what's going to convict us. God is going to hold us accountable using the Scriptures. John chapter 12, verse 48. John 12, 48. Says that the word I spoke is what will judge him on the last day. The words that Jesus Christ spoke, spoken from this, from on earth and from heaven. That's the words that's going to hold us accountable. On judgment day, these words, each one of you, you got a Bible. So the words in your hand, it's going to hold you accountable. God, the Lord's going to ask you, you had it with you. Why didn't you read it? Why didn't you put it into practice in your life? Why didn't you remain faithful? Why did you get distracted by the things of this world? The toys. Things that are fading away. See, we must not just hear it, but we must put it into practice, my brethren. James chapter 1, verse 22. Not just be hearers, but be doers of the Word. Be doers of the Word. And I remember 13 years ago, 14 years ago, when I met Mike and Marshall at camp in Montana, the first time coming out to Montana Family Camp. I was in I had a suit on. I was the only one with a suit. I'm from New York City, you know. I always wore a suit in New York, and I had businesses and things like that, and I was everywhere else. I was the only dark-skinned guy there. And everybody else is, you know, I was like, well, where did I come to? And I remember sitting in that cabin with Marshall and Mike, and, you know, I was just amazed at what God has done. I listened to the same preachings as many of you. You can do the same thing. God has taken me in the past several years from those messages, those power-packed messages from the Scripture. From the Scripture, it has empowered me and my wife and I to live in India and minister to the people of India. And He can do the same thing with you. This message has power, but you got to put it into your life. You got to apply it to your life. And when you do, it's power-packed. The Holy Spirit is a great enabler to help you in this journey of life. You're not alone. You're not alone. You can do great things, my brethren. The Lord took 12 ordinary men, fishermen, uneducated, and turned them to extraordinary. They were extraordinary by their great faith. They had so little. They didn't have the Scriptures as we do. You know, we have the completed Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit. We have Jesus as an example. We have everything. We have everything for life and godliness. 1 John chapter 2, verse 21. 1 John 2, 12. 2:12, I am writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for His name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know Him who has been from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. See, something interesting. You know, I've been memorizing 1 John, worked on that, and it says there in 1 John 2, verse 13, I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. Young men, in the time of Apostle John. Apostle John says, what does it say there? I'm writing, you, young men, you have, not you will or you could, it's past tense. These young men were overcoming the evil one. Young men, not old men, you know? Who are wise and, you know, the long beards and, you know. But young men who are overcoming the evil one. Isn't that great? Isn't that great hope for us? We live in a wicked and evil society. Right? But we can overcome. Each one of us. These young men took the Word of God seriously. If you take the Word of God seriously and apply it to your life daily, each one of us can do the same thing. That is great hope for us. These young men lived in Apostle John's time. Long time ago. They didn't have the Word of God as we do. You know, we have it on our laptops and, you know, on our phones. How many of you have the whole Bible on your phone? Anybody here? Wow, this is amazing. Isn't it a great time in history we live? We live in an awesome time. So much we can do for the kingdom. Brother, keep pressing forward. Keep on making those videos. Where's your partner there? He's back there. All right. Yeah. Keep pressing on. Keep making those videos. We're getting them. We love it. And we're trying to, Lord willing, get it into Malayalam. You know, so in Hindi and maybe other languages. That's good stuff. You guys are doing the hard work. And you know? We have to do a little juggling around and we'll try to get it on, you know, YouTube and other things. And more truth. Get it out there into the midst of the darkness. So we live in a great time in history. These guys in Apostle John's time, in 1 John chapter 2, we see that they didn't have all the Scripture in hand, but with pieces of Scripture, but they were able to overcome. They had no air conditioning. They had no, you know, laptops with concordances and dictionaries, and no iPods to listen to Paul's messages. But with the little that they had, they were victorious. Right? They lived in the midst of serious persecution. You got anybody coming to kill you? Burn your house down? No, I don't think so, right? But these guys overcame the persecution and the trials and the challenges, and they were victorious! They had their minds in the right place. Their minds were set to get the job done. They didn't have any special gadgets, right? To get the word in them. They didn't have any special gadgets like you see in Matrix. How many of you have seen Matrix? Some of you seen Matrix? Okay, you didn't have any, you know, download. Okay, I got Matthew downloaded. All right, Matthew's in there. Okay, 1 John. Okay, let's load in 1 John. Okay, all right, I got Matthew and John and Luke and, you know, there's no special gadgets we can use to get the Word ingrained into us. It takes daily renewing of the mind, daily putting in habits, putting those great habits into place in your life, right? Attending this, sacrificing, maybe a job might tell you to, hey, you got to work on Lord's days. I'm sorry, I can't come. You know, trust in the Lord to provide the finances because you want to be there with the saints. You want to be encouraged. You want to build up your spiritual muscles so that you can overcome the evil one. You know, you want to glorify God. There's no easy shortcuts, brethren. You want to have victory. You want the crown of life. You got to push forward. You got to persevere. You got to make more and more sacrifices. You got to lose this world to gain heaven. You got to let it go. Don't hold on to both of it. No way. You're going to lose one. This world is not worth it. It's going to be burned up, my dear brethren. Let it go. I had to burn my bridges. I gave up my green card, my citizenship, everything here in America. I'm a visitor now. Feels kind of awkward, but this is not my home. I'm not from here. I'm from above. Amen. I'm from above. And I have to remind that. This is not my home. Yeah, you got beautiful malls and, you know, the Walmart Supercenter. I like that. You know, I like going into there. Wow! We're like, wow! Look at all that. Look at all those cereal. Wow! You just stand there and just mesmerized by those Supercenters. And, you know, but that's not my God. Walmart is my, not my God, it's Jesus, King Jesus. You got to burn all those bridges if you want to make it, you want to be like Jesus. Right? So, they used the guys in 1 John, they were able to overcome through the power of the Holy Spirit. And each one of you can do the same. He is the great enabler given to us in our, where? When do we get the Holy Spirit? When we up and down, jump up and down. When we say hallelujah, hallelujah. Is that when we get the Holy Spirit?
No.
No. When? Where, brother?
In our immersion,
we get the Holy Spirit. He comes, dwells in us, so that we can overcome. So we can be victorious. See. Great and wonderful promises. But the world, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What wonderful scripture. If all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. See, these things are not going to help you. The world, the sports. Is sports an idol here in America? Yes. It's an idol there in India. It's across the world. Sports. It might be cricket, or it might be football, it might be basketball, whatever it is. Let those things not be your idols. Video games, your job, your houses, your cars, your whatever. These things, put the kingdom first. Set your whole life. Jesus and His church and His body should be the center of your life, and off of that should be everything else. Picking your job, picking where you live, and where you... about your children's future. Everything is revolved around the kingdom. And if you do that, you will be successful. You will be victorious. You will have joy. Inexpressible joy. Inexpressible joy. And I am grateful to the Lord for what He has done. I can't... You know, life is challenging there, but I can't think of giving it up for anything in this world. We love what we do in India and the work we get. We get to do something that has an eternal purpose. Eternal purpose. That's what each one of us can invest in our time and with our energy and our resources. Invest in something that is eternal, that won't fade away. All right? Let's put our priorities in the right place so that we can bring glory to God. We as Christians, we are more than conquerors. As Romans 8:35 says, we can overcome. We are victorious. So Ephesians 3 verse 16 to 20 says the Holy Spirit is given so that we can do far more abundantly, beyond anything we can imagine. I never imagined in my entire life living in India, working, traveling all over India. I've been to Indonesia, Cambodia, Sri Lanka, so many places, sharing, talking. Never thought of doing these things and working in a Christian school, working with young people. You know, I was just happy to get out of college. You know, it's like, woohoo, I'm out of college. And then I come over here to Montana and go to Africa and I see a Christian school. It's like, what's that? Oh, wow. That's really convicting. Oh, what are you doing, Lord? I don't want to be a school teacher. I don't want to do this. Oh, maybe there's somebody else, but there's nobody else. When there's nobody else, you got to step up. You got to man up to get the job done. God can help you to do incredible things with your life. And there's a breach in the wall. You fill it. Fill those gaps. Each one of you. You see there's some things lacking or wherever it is and somebody's not. You step up. Step up and work hard. God can help you, brethren. And there's a lot more to share, but I'll stop there. And I thank you for your time. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for being with us and praying for us and encouraging us and the support. And we greatly appreciate it. And continue. Next time, Lord willing, you might see us in 3 years. We're as the Lord wills, or even longer, or however, whenever the Lord provides us to come back. And it's great. And thank you again. Please press forward for the crown of glory.
Does boil down to one thing, doesn't it? It's really only one thing that matters, guys, that we get right in this life. Only one. It's where you're going to spend eternity. You can mess up everything else, but you get that one thing right, then you're a winner. It's interesting because the world keeps trying to give us this picture, and we probably, many of us have said this ourselves, we're just sinners. No, we are not. You're either a sinner or you're a winner. You either are, did you notice that word? And this was a word that showed up in almost all these verses that Benoit read this morning. Overcome. And it's interesting. You either overcome or you are being overcome. Either you are winning or you're sinning. There's only one way to get that sinner mentality removed. There's only one way to get that mark. I'll just call it 666. Sinner, sinner, sinner. There's only one way to get that removed. That's by being obedient to the gospel in the waters of immersion. Jesus Christ removes that. Instead of having the mark of the beast, who do we get? We get sealed with Jesus Christ on our forehead, don't we? So, Brian, we got to do this right. Get that clean conscience. Get that picture. Get that indwelling Holy Spirit who does empower us then to go and take on the world for Jesus Christ. That's our mission. And when it boils down, that's all that matters. I forget the gentleman, there was a missionary, somebody, Elliot, and he said, he put it this way. He said, he is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. That's a good trade. It's a good trade. Don't hang on to something you're not going to keep anyways. Get a hold of the one thing you can never lose. It is about eternity. Appreciate the message. Please stand with me. Close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you are an awesome God. You are the great I am. You are eternal. You have the right perspective. The perspective, that view from the throne. Lord, help us to... Maybe we're just starting to search out for truth. Help us to look behind the curtain to see what's really going on. We start on this journey and there's some things that just nag at us. We start realizing we're being lied to. We're being lied to in the realm of politics. We're being lied to in the realm of science. We're being lied to in the social sciences. We're being lied to everywhere. And then there is one who is the truth. Father, I ask that you strengthen us and to be the people who buy truth and do not sell it. Who grab a hold of that. Who commit to the truth no matter what. That Father, in our as we do that, we know that you do work in us. And that joy that's inexpressible and full of glory. That joy that we get a chance to partake in, that abundant life. That we'll be able to share that with others. Whereas it's not about our possessions. It's about who we are inside. And Father, the things that we get here on this earth. The relationships that we get, the real relationships with our family. With our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Those relationships bring us the greatest joy of all. Help us to put you first. To be willing to lose earth in order to gain heaven. Father, may you be glorified through us. Strengthen us to take this message. To not just be hearers of the word, but to be doers of it. To march forth victoriously. For you. We ask this all through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I have decided to follow Jesus.